Now, today we want to look just briefly for a short time on what is the real meaning of Christmas. Many years ago in the United States, a number of children were preparing for the annual Christmas play in their church, and they set out a little nativity scene, and they had Mary and Joseph and the shepherds, and then they built a little cradle to show where the Lord Jesus Christ was born. And in the cradle, they put a light to light up the cradle to signify that's where Jesus Christ was lying. And then, to their horror, in the middle of the play, someone switched the light off at the power source. One of the little children shouted out, "Oh no! They've switched off Jesus." And of course, there's a lot of truth in that, isn't there? Because the Christmas season is a time when people are now switching off the Lord Jesus Christ from Christmas. If you were to ask the average person, what's Christmas about? They would say, oh, it's about presents. It's about family. It's about, quote-unquote, Santa Claus. It's about singing and eating and drinking. Well, Christmas is not really about any of those things. The clue of the meaning of Christmas is found in the title Christmas. Because in that title you have the name of Jesus Christ, don't you? And that's the clue to what the real meaning of Christmas is all about. Now, in Matthew chapter 1, I just want to pick out two names that were given to the Lord Jesus Christ on his birth that tell us what is the real meaning of Christmas. You'll see the first one in verse 21, and said, "The angel told Joseph, saying, your wife Mary shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." Now, the word Jesus is simply a Hebrew word that means God saves. That's what it means. God saves. And the angel gives this interpretation, "For he shall save his people from their sins." So there's the first thing that we know about the Lord Jesus Christ and his birth. He's coming to save people from their sins. And then the other title in verse 23, just a couple of verses further down in the Matthew chapter 1, we're told, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." You heard the children singing the song, didn't you? Emmanuel. Well, Emmanuel again is a Hebrew word that simply means God with us. And that's who Jesus Christ was. He was God with us, and he also was God's way of saving us from our sins. Now, that raises a very interesting question. And here's the interesting question. Why do we, as humans, need to have a person, need to have God's Son come from heaven to save you and I from our sins? And of course, this goes back to the root problem of humanity. And if you're here today and you're human, this is your problem. This is my problem. And here's our root problem. We are born sinners. We inherit a sin nature from our first parents. You don't need to teach your children to sin, do you? I joke and I say Singaporeans have tuition for every subject under the sun. But there's one subject they don't need tuition for their children. What's that one? How to do wrong. How to tell lies. How to be envious. How to be jealous. How to fight with one another. They don't need a lesson in that. They don't need extra tuition in that. Why? Because it's in them. It's their nature. Just go to the kindergarten and observe. And you'll discover that every child, whether it's male or female, whether it's from one race or another race, whether it speaks one dialect or one language or a different one, They all have this common problem. They sin. They're born sinners. And I'm looking at a room today full of sinners. I'm looking to a room today full of people who cannot stand up and say, I have never sinned. Who cannot say, I don't have a guilty conscience for the things that I have done in the past. Who cannot say, I have things that I regret. Things that I'm sorry. I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I hadn't said those things. All of us are born with this problem called sin. And we inherit that from our first parents, Adam and Eve. We say that Adam was driving the bus that went over the cliff and all of us were sitting in the back. That's why we inherit his sin nature. We're all sinners like him, because he passed on his sinful nature to you and to I. Now, as a consequence of sin, this world has no peace. This world has no lasting joy. This world has no satisfaction. I don't need to spell that out for you. Just open your newspaper. Just stand at your void deck of your HDB and listen to the neighbors. Just stand in your home for a few hours and you'll discover that this world is not at peace, is it? There's strife. There's division. There's anger. There's all kinds of things manifested in the lives of all those around us. Why is the world not at peace? Because we are not at peace with our God. Because we're sinners. Now that's bad news. Now, what is sin? It's a good question, isn't it? Some people say sin is just a human flaw. It's just a failure. It's just a mistake. Well, God tells us that sin is to break God's moral law. That's what sin is. And you have done it many, many times. I have done it many, many times. We have broken God's moral law. We are sinners. That's the first. You need to acknowledge that. You need to face up to that. Now, you may sit there today and say, I don't agree with you. I don't accept that. Well, whether you accept it or don't, God says you are. And he's your creator. And one day you will stand before him. Now, because you and I have broken God's law, God's justice requires that you be punished for breaking his law. Today I had the privilege of baptizing two police officers. I won't tell you who they were. At the front. And those two police officers are here in Singapore because Singapore is not at peace, is it? We need a police office. We need police officers. And one of their duties is to keep the peace. And one of the things they will do, hopefully, if you break the law, or anybody breaks the law, they will come and arrest you and bring you to the court. And you'll stand before the judge there, and the judge will decide whether you're guilty or not guilty of breaking the law. And if you have broken the law, what does justice require? That you be punished for breaking the law of Singapore. That's a simple principle, isn't it? We all understand that. In fact, we glory in it in Singapore. We say, Singapore's a country where if you break the law, you get punished. We say, that's a good thing. And it is a good thing. Well, remember, God is a God of perfect justice. Because he's a perfect God. And if you break his moral law, what must he do to you? He must what? Punish you. He has to. Or else he would cease to be God. He would deny his very character. So God must punish your sin. Let's make it very personal. God must punish your sin and my sin. Not just everybody else's sin, but your sin and my sin. What's the punishment? The Bible tells us there are two things. The wages of sin is death. And that's what happens. We die physically, firstly, and then secondly, we die eternally in a place called hell. That's the consequence of your sin and my sin. That's why people don't joke about death. Because deep down we know, after death comes the judgment. After death we have to give an account for our lives. That's bad news, isn't it? That's fearful news. That's not something we joke about, laugh about, or at least we shouldn't, unless we're slightly insane. But what's the good news? Here's the good news. 2,000 years ago, in a little town called Bethlehem, God sent someone to take your punishment. God sent someone to make a way for your sins to be forgiven. Now, God can't simply say, I forgive your sins. I overlook your sins. Because that wouldn't be justice, would it? But God came up with an alternative plan. What's the alternative plan? Someone else to take your place, to take your punishment, to take the punishment of your sins and my sins. And who was that person? He looked around the whole world for a perfect person who had never sinned. He couldn't see one. He looked down across all of humankind and he says, there's none righteous, no, not one. And then his son said, I'll go, and I'll die, and I'll take the punishment for sinners like you, like me. Jesus Christ came down into the world 2,000 years ago, took on human flesh. Why did he take on human flesh? Because he came to die for humans. He came to take the punishment of a human, you and me. That's why he came. And he was born in Bethlehem, and when the news of his birth was announced, the angels formed a choir in the heavenlies, and they sang what? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Why is there peace and goodwill toward men? Because Christ came to die for sinners. He came to make a way for you and I to be saved. That's the good news. That's the wonderful news. The bad news was, you're a sinner. The bad news was that you're on your way to eternal punishment. But the good news is this. Jesus Christ came to be your substitute. To be the one who will die in your place. The one who will take your punishment. And he did that on the cross. When he died for your sins and my sins. When he took your punishment and my punishment. And when he rose from the grave, he now declared, death has been defeated for you and for me. You know what the greatest gift is in the Christmas season? The greatest gift in any season is not something material. It's not something monetary in value. The greatest gift you can receive is this, forgiveness of your sins and eternal life. Forgiveness of your sins and eternal life. I was saying this story recently, many years ago. A man came from the UK to India. He was a missionary. When he arrived on the shores of India, a group of religious people came out to meet him. And they said to this man, they said, well, listen, we have millions of gods and religions in India. You come as a Christian. What does your God do that our gods can't do and our religions cannot do? That's a good question, wasn't it? And a good question got a good answer because the man from the West said, I've got an answer for you. And I can sum it up in just two words. What my God can do that your God cannot do. What my religion can do and your religion cannot do. And here's the two words. He says, my God can provide complete forgiveness. Two words. That's what Christianity provides. Complete forgiveness. You know, Jesus Christ didn't die on the cross to partially save you from your sins. No. The good news, the wonderful news is this. He came to die for all your sins. Remember the little verse in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21? Thou shalt call his name Jesus, meaning God saves. For he, not the church, not you or any other person, he alone shall save his people from their sins. Today is Christmas Day. All around the world, people are unwrapping gifts. The greatest gift that you could receive is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we have gifts here today to give to people. We have gifts for the children after this service. We had gifts for those who were baptized. But the problem is this, when we offer the gift, what must happen? The person you offer the gift must do what? Receive the gift. Do they pay for the gift? Do we say, oh, now there's the gift, now give us $20. No, that's not a gift. That would be a purchase, wouldn't it? A gift is something that's free. A gift is something that you must take. You must choose to say, I receive the gift. And you know, the same is true about Christianity and salvation. You must choose to acknowledge you're a sinner. You must choose to come to Jesus Christ today and say, I need your forgiveness. I need you to wash away my sins. I want this eternal life. I'm afraid to die. I'm afraid to meet God. And I need you. And here's the good news. He has promised this today. He or she that cometh to me, that comes to me, I will in no wise, in no way, will I cast them out. I don't know who all these people are here today. I know some of you. I don't know all of you. I can't read your heart. I don't know your life. I don't know what you've done in the past. I don't know where you've come from. But I have this absolute guarantee for you. And if you hear nothing else, listen to this. You can have all of your sins forgiven today. Today. You can have eternal life today. You can break the fear of death today. How? By receiving the gift of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we are living in fragile days, aren't we? This decision is an urgent one. This evening I'm going to a funeral. Yesterday morning, a relative of mine, my wife's, got up and had his breakfast. And by lunchtime, he was dead. Tonight we hold his vigil service. He was here just a few hours ago. He was walking this earth just 24 hours ago, but today he's gone out into God's eternity. Life is fragile. No one is guaranteed tomorrow. Last week we had a man driving along the AYE, didn't we? He had many plans for the future. He didn't know as he drove along that AYE that within 1 hour he'd be out in God's eternity. Yet in the space of just a few moments, he went from time to eternity. He left this world in just a second of time, twinkling of the eye. If that was you, where would you be? If you have to leave this world today, where will you go? If you have to stand before God today, how will you stand? Will you be able to say, my sins are forgiven? I have peace with God. I have the assurance of salvation. Or will you go out into eternity to face God's judgment and God's anger? It's your choice. Nobody can force you. Nobody can bribe you into this. It's a decision you must make from your heart in this Christmas season. You know, many people come to meetings like this every Christmas. They hear about the good news of Jesus Christ. They know they're sinners. Deep down, they know in their heart, I've done things I shouldn't have done. I've said things I shouldn't have said. And I know I'm going to pay for it. I just don't know how to deal with it. Maybe you're like that today. Maybe you're saying, how can I have my sins forgiven? Preacher, tell me how. Describe to me. Is there a way that I can have peace with God? Is that you? Because just give me 2 more minutes and then I'll stop. I'm going to describe to you a very simple way how you can know your sins are forgiven. How you can know that the blood of Christ has washed away every stain. How you can know that you have peace with God. And how you can know that you have, right now, everlasting life. If that's your desire, let me simply explain using the 3 letters of the alphabet. A, B, C. A, B, C. What's the A? A, acknowledge you are a sinner. Acknowledge that you cannot take away your sins by yourself. You have to do that. God cannot save you. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save. Well, he can't save someone who doesn't recognize they need saved. Who doesn't think that they're a sinner. You have to admit it. That's hard for us because we're very proud. We like to think we're strong, when we're really not very strong at all. A little virus can knock us out that we can't even see with our eyes in just 24 hours, can it? We're not strong. So you have to acknowledge that you're a sinner. And you cannot take away your sins by yourself. And then the second thing, B. You need to believe by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. In other words, you have to come to Jesus Christ and say, I know I'm a sinner. I know you have died for my sins. And I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe that you can forgive me my sins. And I want you to forgive me my sins. You have to believe in him. And then C, you have to confess him as your Lord. You must say, I'm willing to walk with him. I'm willing to be his disciple. I'm willing for people to know that I'm a Christian. Live the Christian life. And if you're willing here today to do that ABC, right now you can become a Christian. Today you can leave this place with your sins forgiven. With your life changed forever. Today you can leave this place with peace in your soul. Unafraid to leave this world. Unafraid to meet God. Is that you? Do you want to have forgiveness? Let's bow our heads in prayer. I don't normally do this, but if there is anyone here who would like to become a Christian, and you acknowledge that you're a sinner, and you acknowledge that Jesus Christ can forgive you your sins, I want you to say these words after me in your heart. You don't have to say them out loud. But I'm going to ask all the Christians here just to say the words after me as well to help you. So if you want to have your sins forgiven, if you want to know peace with God and you're willing to acknowledge that you're a sinner, please say these words after me. Christians, say them after me. Oh God, I know I am a sinner. I know that I cannot take away my sins myself. I am sorry for my sins. I acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for my sins and rose again from the grave. I ask you now, Jesus, to come into my heart, wash away all of my sins, and make me your child. I thank you now, Jesus, for washing away all of my sins and giving me everlasting life. Help me to live the Christian life. for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Father, we thank Thee for this time together, this short little message of what is the real meaning of Christmas. We pray for any here outside of Christ that You would speak to them, draw them to the Savior, and may there be rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that has repented. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.